As the old year entered its last minute, the crowds at the Club Tropicana were waiting expectantly for the clock to strike midnight. At a ringside table, a lovely young woman angrily whispers to the man with her.
Chris, if you take another drink, I'll leave.
Oh, Judy, this is New Year's Eve. It'll be 1947 in another minute. Gotta celebrate, don't I? Just one more.
Just one more, just one more. That's what you always say. I wouldn't mind if it were just tonight, but you're always getting drunk.
Waiter, another bottle of champagne.
Nothing I say means anything to you, does it? You think because I've forgiven you a dozen times in the past, I'll do it again. But you're wrong, Chris.
Happy New Year, darling. 1947 is going to be our year.
No, Chris, it isn't. I won't marry a man who gets drunk in New York and wakes up the next day in another city.
Oh, Judy, what are you saying? You don't mean that. You know I love you.
Yes, Chris, you love me. But not enough to give up drinking. I'll miss you, Chris. Miss you terribly. But I know I'm doing the right thing.
Judy, don't talk like that. I couldn't live without you. You know that. Won't you?
I'm sorry, Chris. Here's your ring. Will you please take me home?
You don't have to leave. If the sight of my drinking is too much for you, I'll go someplace else and do it. Martin will take you home. Happy New Year, and goodbye.
Finishing that drink, mister. It's 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm dead on my feet.
Sure. Sure, I'll drink up. No matter what she says.
That's right. Now you better go home and sleep it off. Good night and a happy 1947 to you.
Thanks. And the same to you. Cold. Gotta find another bar. New Year's. Gotta celebrate. Another bar across the street. Oh, gotta celebrate.
Hey, mister, look out for that car. You're gonna get run down if you don't. Look out!
My head. Oh, it feels so funny. What's that noise? Those horns.
Why, darling, it's midnight. New Year's.
Oh, my head. It's throbbing so. Where am I? How did I get here?
Why, darling, you live here.
Live here? What are you talking about?
Charles, I'd better call Dr. Smith. You look so strange. Hello? Connect me with Dr. Smith's apartment, please.
I've never seen this place before.
Hello, doctor? This is Blanche Arnold. Yes, it's Charles. He isn't well. Could you come to our apartment at once? Oh, thank you. Goodbye.
What do you mean, I live here? Who are you? Where am I?
I'm your wife, Charles. This is our home, don't you remember?
You're my wife. You can't be. I'm not married. What am I doing here? What's your game?
Charles, can't you remember anything about us?
What are you talking about? I never saw you before. And why do you keep calling me Charles? My name is Chris. Chris Andrews.
Chris Andrews. So that's what the initial CA stood for.
Oh, that noise out there. What are they making such a racket for?
Because it's midnight, New Year's Eve.
Midnight? New Year's Eve? But it was midnight hours ago when I left the Club Tropicana. What are you talking about?
Oh, that must be Dr. Smith. I'll answer it.
Dr. Smith? I don't know any Dr. Smith.
Oh, come in, doctor. I'm so glad you're here. I think it's the amnesia. It seems to have left him all of a sudden. Charles? It's Dr. Smith.
I don't know him and I don't know you. And please stop calling me Charles. I told you my name is Chris Andrews.
Mm-hmm. Won't you sit down, Mr. Andrews? I'd like to talk with you for a few minutes.
What about?
Tell me, Mr. Andrews, what's the last thing you remember before finding yourself in this apartment?
Why, Judy. She and I were at the Club Tropicana, celebrating New Year's Eve.
I see.
I remember we quarreled about my drinking. I walked out on her and had a few drinks someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can recall. Oh, my head. I've had hangovers, but I've never thought like this before. What time is it?
It's just 4 minutes after 12.
But it can't be 4 minutes after 12 New Year's Eve. That was hours ago when I left the Tropicana.
Mr. Andrews, that was New Year's Eve, 1947.
What do you mean, that was New Year's Eve, 1947?
This is New Year's Eve, 1948.
1948? What are you talking about? It's 1947.
Well, here's the morning paper. You can see the date for yourself.
Thursday, January 1st, 1948. No, it can't be. It can't be. A year gone? Just like that? But where did it go? I haven't lived it yet.
Perhaps you'd better let me clear up a few things for you.
1948.
My name is Smith. I was a resident physician until recently at the Park Hospital. While I was on duty, last New Year's Day, 1947, you were brought into the hospital seriously injured, having been run over by a car. When you recovered consciousness 5 days later, you didn't know who you were. You were a victim of amnesia.
Amnesia?
Yes, and we didn't know who you were, as you had no identification papers.
But my wallet, letters...
They were gone. The only clue to your identity was a belt buckle with the initials C.A. on it.
We didn't know your real name, so I called you Charles, for the C.
Blanche was your nurse.
I've always liked the name Charles. And as for your last name, we thought Arnold was as good as any, so you became Charles Arnold.
But what have I been doing since the day I recovered consciousness?
Well, you weren't discharged from the hospital until May. Then you went to work as an insurance clerk.
As an insurance clerk? But I don't know anything about being a clerk. I'm a reporter.
Well, there was no way of learning what your occupation had been. So when Blanche learned of this opening in an insurance office, you applied for the position.
And that's where I've been working up to now?
Yes.
And then after you got your job, we were married.
Married?
Charles, I mean, Chris, don't you remember?
I'm afraid, Blanche, you really can't.
Married. But Judy, oh, it's like a dream. My head keeps throbbing. I keep expecting to wake up. There's a date in the paper. January 1st, 1948.
Doctor, you said he might never get over his amnesia.
Well, that was a strong possibility, but apparently the sounds of New Year's brought back his memory.
A year gone, just like that. Judy, my friends, job, all gone. Doctor, where am I? I mean, what's the address of this apartment house?
You're at 5718 North 13th Street. Philadelphia.
Philadelphia? But how did I get to Philadelphia?
That we don't know. All that I can tell you is that your accident occurred just a few blocks from here.
Darling, I know. What a shock it must
be. Strange. You must have called me darling many times in the past. And yet this is the first time I've ever heard you call me that.
Yes. I know.
What did you say your name was?
Hello, Doctor. Come in, won't you?
Thank you. How are you, Blanche?
All right, I suppose.
How's Chris getting along?
He's fine. It's just...
Why, Blanche, what's this? I've never seen you cry. Here.
No, it's just that everything's so changed. Those 6 months Chris and I were married before he regained his memory were the happiest of my life.
And now?
This past month since he got his memory back, it's been as though I were married to a stranger. It isn't as though he doesn't try to be nice to me. But it's all so obvious. He doesn't love me.
Now, Blanche, you mustn't say that.
It's true, I tell you. How can a man love a woman those first 6 months as he loved me and then fall out of love with her when he's regained his memory?
Well, you must have patience, Blanche. It will take time for Chris to adjust himself to what's happened. He fell in love with you as Charles Arnold, and I'm sure he will as Chris Andrews. You just must give him time. Judy. Oh, just let me look at you. Oh, this can't be true. You're being here.
Well, it is. It's been a long time.
Yes. A year and a month since New Year's Eve, 1947.
Chris, what are you doing here in Philadelphia?
I live here.
Well, so do I. I got a job with Ryan and Company as a copywriter here a few months ago.
Look, Judy, we can't talk here on the sidewalk.
That's right. I live only a few blocks from here. We can go to my apartment.
Oh, that's fine. There's so much I want to ask, and there's so much to tell.
Here, let me have your hat and coat.
Thank you.
Would you like something to drink?
No, I don't drink anymore.
Oh? Chris, you have changed. You look so much older.
Well, you don't. You're as lovely as that night I saw you last.
Thank you, Chris.
Judy, you'll have to let me explain what happened after I left you that night at the Tropicana. If you find it difficult to believe, I won't blame you. It still seems like a nightmare to me. That night, after I left you... So now you know everything, from the moment I last saw you to this one.
Oh, no wonder you look different after having gone through an experience like that. Well, you're all right now. You know who you are. You're happily married. You have a job.
I'm not happily married, Judy. Oh,
Chris, you mustn't talk like that. Surely you must have loved your wife if you married her, and she hasn't changed.
Judy, there's never been anyone for me but you. You know that. And you still feel that way about me?
No, I don't.
When we met tonight, that old look was still in your eyes. You do care. You know you do.
Please, Chris, no matter how I feel about you, it's over now. You're married, and that's all there is to it. I wish you'd go, and I don't want to see you again.
I expected you home from work hours ago.
I met a friend.
Oh, you look so tired. Do you feel well?
Blanche, this past month I tried my best to be a good husband, haven't I?
Oh, you have been, darling.
No, there's something missing and you know it. Oh, it isn't your fault, it's mine. And as a result, we're both unhappy.
You mustn't say that, Chris. I feel that in time, things will be as they were when we were first married. When you were Charles Arnold.
No, but they won't be, Blanche. It's no use, I tell you.
Chris, who is the friend you met tonight?
The girl I was once engaged to.
I see.
Blanche, you've got to give me a divorce.
No, Chris. I'll never do that.
But why? You know I don't love you. What's the sense in going on like this?
Chris, when you were Charles Arnold, you did love me, and we were happy together. I had your love once, and I mean to win it back. I won't give you a divorce.
Hello, Judy.
Chris, I asked you not to call on me again.
Judy, I've got to talk to you. May I come in?
Well, all right. But just for a few minutes.
Thank you. Judy, even if we hadn't met again a week ago, things wouldn't have been any different between my wife and myself. I'll never love her. And I'm not going on with her.
What do you mean, Chris?
I'm going to leave her, Judy, and start all over someplace far away. I just came around to say goodbye.
Are you set on leaving her?
Yes. Nothing can change my mind about that.
Now, you've got to understand my position, Chris. I could never be happy with you if I thought I'd been the one who came between you and your wife. But if you are going to leave her, I would like to see you again when you're free.
Would you, Judy?
Yes. But I don't want to see you until she's given you a divorce.
A divorce? Judy, I am going to be free. Nothing's going to prevent it. Nothing. Blanche, how would you like to go out tonight?
Go out?
Yeah, we might take in a show or go dancing. Didn't I ever take you out when I was Charles Arnold?
Why, yes. We used to have wonderful evenings together then.
Well, why not now? Unless you don't want to.
Oh, Chris, there's nothing in the world I'd rather do.
Hey, why the tears?
Oh, it's just that I'm so happy.
Oh, come here. Did this Mr. Arnold ever put his arms around you like this?
Oh, yes, often. Oh, Chris, stop squeezing me so tight. Chris!
Sorry, darling.
Oh, you almost squeezed me to death.
That's so you remember that I'm your husband and not Mr. Arnold. And Blanche.
Oh, yes, Chris.
I'm taking a week's vacation soon. What do you say if we go up to the Adirondack Mountains for a week of winter sports?
Oh, Chris, I'd love to. Well, it'll be like a second honeymoon.
Blanche, you all right? It's only a few more feet to the top.
I'm coming, darling. Where are you? Oh, there you are. Oh, Chris. Oh, the view is wonderful from here, isn't it?
You're right. Being up here is like being alone in the world.
Yes, just the two of us. Oh, this past week's been a wonderful one, Chris. I've never been so happy.
Nor have I.
Oh, be careful, Chris. Don't go so near the edge. That canyon's 4,000 feet deep.
Oh, this ledge is perfectly safe. Come over here and take a look at the valley below.
All right. Ooh, please keep your arms around me, Chris. Looking down like this frightens me.
There. You're safe in my arms.
Chris, why are you looking at me that way?
What way, dear?
I don't know. Is your head throbbing again?
No, dear. I don't suppose you've changed your mind about giving me a divorce. Have you?
Giving you a divorce? But I thought we were so happy together.
Yes, that's the impression I meant people to get.
Chris, you can't be serious. Why, everything's been wonderful these past few weeks.
Oh, I see it won't be any use trying to talk you into it.
What do you mean?
I'm sorry, Blanche. I don't want to do this, but you've given me no alternative. It's really your own fault that you must die.
Let go of me.
No, struggling, darling. No one can see or hear you. And you can't possibly escape.
You can't throw me off that ledge, Justin, and I'll hang you.
I don't think so, dear.
Chris.
We've been so happy these past few weeks.
No.
I'm sure the police will see it as an unfortunate accident.
Stop pushing me toward the edge. Chris, don't. No, I'll give you a divorce. I'll give you anything.
I'm afraid it's too late for that. Good evening, Judy. May I come in?
Why, yes, of course. How are you, Chris?
Oh, I'm all right. I want to thank you for the note you sent me when Blanche died.
I can't tell you how sorry I was to hear about it, Chris.
Yes, it It all happened so quickly.
Mm. What have you been doing since then?
Oh, just working. Trying to straighten myself out.
Yes.
Judy, perhaps I shouldn't talk about it now, seeing that Blanche has only been gone a month, but I've been thinking of leaving town. Will you come with me?
Please sit down, Chris. You make me nervous walking back and forth like this.
All right. But you haven't answered my question.
Well, it isn't easy to answer.
Well, it would be if you said yes. I see in your eyes you mean no. Why?
Chris, I've met someone else recently.
Someone else? But you said if I were free, you'd marry me.
I didn't say I'd marry you. I said if you were free, I'd like to see you again. But now I'm not even sure of that. You're so different from what you used to be.
Stop being clever. If you didn't say you'd marry me, you implied as much.
Please, Chris, you're making it so difficult for me.
I'm making it difficult for you. And I suppose what I've been through doesn't count. I risked my life to get you.
Risked your life? Chris, what are you saying?
Are you such a fool as to believe that Blanche fell off that mountain?
Chris, you didn't.
Yes. And I didn't because you said you'd marry me if I were free.
Oh, no, I meant a divorce.
But she wouldn't give me a divorce. It was the only way I could gain my freedom. And now you tell me there's someone else.
Oh, Chris.
I did it for you. And you're going to marry me.
No, I won't.
If I can't have you, no one else will.
Chris, what's the matter with you? Chris!
We were meant for each other, darling. In life and in death.
Chris, if you come any closer, I'll scream for help. No, don't! Chris, no!
You won't marry me. You'll never marry anyone else. There. He'll never have you.
Hold on there.
I didn't want to do it, darling. But you forced me to. Oh, my head. It throbs so. Everything's like a nightmare.
Open up in there. This is the police.
The police? I've got to get away. Oh, they're closing in on me. There's no escape from this room.
Let's work our way down from this end of the room to the other.
They'll never take me alive. Never. I've got 5 bullets. 4 for them and the last for myself.
Take it easy now, Joe. Maybe you had me hand one of those chimneys.
Oh, my head. It keeps throbbing so. If I could only think. All this can't be real. It's like a horrible dream. And they're coming for me.
Wait. There's someone behind that chimney over there. Get under cover.
They'll never take me alive, never. I'll show them.
Keep down, Mike.
Why don't you come and get me? If I shoot it out with me, huh? I'll show you.
Come on, Mike. His gun is empty.
Oh, empty. You'll never take me alive. Never.
He's climbing up on the ledge. It's 15 stories down.
I'm coming, Judy. I'm coming.
He's going to jump.
I'm falling. Falling. You'll never take me. Never. I'm falling. Falling.
Doctor, the patient's recovering consciousness.
Yes, you're right. He's opening his eyes.
Oh, my head. It drops so. Where am I? Oh, it was a dream. Not real. Oh, thank heaven.
Now, you must be quiet. You've been in a serious accident.
Accident?
Yes. You were hit by an automobile New Year's morning. Would you mind telling me your name? There weren't any identification papers in your clothing, and we'd like to inform your relatives of what's happened.
My name? It's... It's... I can't remember my name.
I see. Well, what about your address? Can you remember that?
No. No, I can't remember anything.
Now, you mustn't get excited. It'll all come back to you. You received a fractured skull from the accident.
There was a mountain.
Mountain? You mean you live near one?
I don't know. There was a mountain, and the police were chasing me. And I jumped off a high building. It's all mixed up.
You probably dreamed that while you were unconscious. But you're all right now. Just need rest and quiet.
Where am I?
You're in the Park Hospital, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia? What day is it?
It's January 5th, 1947. It's 7:26 in the evening.
And you don't know my name?
No, all we have is your belt buckle with the initials C.A.
C.A.?
Nurse, will you look after the patient now? I'll be in to see him later tonight.
Yes, doctor. Are you comfortable?
The initials C.A. What do you suppose they stand for?
Perhaps the C is for Charles?
Charles? Charles. I don't know.
Well, suppose I call you Charles, just for the time being. I always liked the name Charles.
All right. What's your name?
I'm Miss Thompson, but you can call me Blanche. And Charles, let me be the first to wish you a happy 1947.
Mysterious traveler again.
Have you enjoyed our little trip? Oh, by the way, I want to wish you all a very happy new year. And I do hope you'll be careful about making new acquaintances. And perhaps you'd better keep an eye on the old ones, too. For after all, who can foretell the future? Not even Chris Andrews, or should I say Charles Arnold, knows what's in store for him. But we do, don't we? And speaking of the future, I... Oh, you're getting off here. I'm sorry. But I'm sure we'll meet again. I take this same train every week at this same time.
You've just heard The Mysterious Traveler, a series of dramas of the strange and terrifying. In tonight's cast were Maurice Tarplin, Stuart Brody, Louise Fitch, Hester Sondergaard, and Mort Lawrence. Original music was played by Doc Whipple. The Mysterious Traveler is written and directed by Bob Arthur and David Cogan. Listen next week over most of these stations to a tale titled...
No grave can hold me.
Another tale of the mysterious traveler. The Mysterious Traveler has been presented from our New York studios. Carl Caruso speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
We did it before, and we can do it again from the Broadway show Banjo Eyes, played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you a man who gave a big party last Thursday at his home in Beverly Hills. A host whose Christmas dinner was the greatest thing since Harper's Bazaar diet, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again. This is Jack Benny talking, and Don... For a man who ate 15 stalks of celery, and heaven knows how many when I wasn't looking, you're a fine one to complain.
But after all, Jack, that's all there was to eat. Celery and ham hocks.
Ham hocks? I had turkey.
You had ham hocks. Sticking that feather duster in them didn't fool anybody.
Look, it fooled Dennis because he asked for the breast. Anyway, Don, ham hocks are marvelous. I'm crazy about them.
Well, I'm glad of that because my wife says the next time you come to our house, that's all you're going to get.
Well, that's the cheapest thing I ever heard of. You've got a backyard full of chickens. Anyway, Don, regardless of what you say, my party was a success.
Hello, Jack.
Oh, hello, Mary.
Say, Jack, do you notice anything new today?
Well, let's see. Are you wearing a new dress?
No.
New shoes?
No.
New pocketbook?
No.
Well, I give up. What's new about you?
I'm wearing that lousy mascara you gave me for Christmas.
Now, just a minute, young lady. In that gorgeous hand-painted gift box, you also found a lipstick and talcum powder and bath salts and a beautiful pink and white washcloth.
The washcloth I already returned to the Ambassador Hotel.
That didn't come from the hotel. It was made by the Ambassador Knitting Mill. Read before you return. Speaking of Christmas presents, I've got a good notion to tell Don what you gave me.
What was it, Jack?
A lot of thought she put into it.
Well, it was useful. You've got to admit that.
Sure, useful.
Well, what was it, Jack? What did Mary give you for Christmas?
A nutcracker for coconut. So big, I can't even lift it.
Well, I was going to get you muscles, but I didn't know where to buy them.
Very funny. Well, I'll tell you one thing, Mary. You can take that present you gave me right back to the May Company. First thing in the morning.
You take it. Every time I go there, I forget and punch the clock.
All right, I'll take it back myself. But the next time...
Hey, look at Dennis. What's the matter with him?
Where? Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello.
Well, what's the matter with you?
Just ask me how my girl is. Go ahead, ask me.
All right, Dennis, how's your girl?
She can go sit on a tack.
What's this all about? What's wrong between you and your girl?
Well, I gave her some beautiful earrings for Christmas, and just because I swallowed one, she slapped me.
Well, for... Dennis, how in the world did you happen to swallow one of your girl's earrings?
I was whispering something to her, and I got too confidential.
Oh. Well, that could happen.
But only to him.
You said it. Anyway, don't worry, Dennis. You and your girl will make up.
Oh, yeah? As soon as I get my bicycle back, I'm going to give her the air.
Well, I don't blame you.
I sold over 8,000 magazines to get that bicycle. It's mine.
All right. Forget about your girl and your bicycle. And change the subject. Say, Dennis, did you have a good time at my Christmas party?
Yeah, but gee, the turkey sure made me thirsty.
It was a little salty, but... You had fun, though, didn't you, Dennis? You certainly met a lot of celebrities.
What do you mean, celebrities?
I mean movie stars. Ginger Rogers was there, wasn't she?
Ginger Rogers' car broke down, and she stopped in to use your telephone.
Whoever walks in that front door is a guest. Whether it's Ginger or Moivin. And there were other stars there, too. Oh, say, Don, did you read any notices about my party in the society pages? I imagine all the papers covered it, huh?
No, Jack. I looked, but I didn't see a word about your party.
Oh. Oh, you didn't, huh?
Well, I saw a swell write-up, Jack.
Where? Who? Who did it? Where? Why? Where? Where'd you see a write-up?
In the downtown shopping news.
Oh.
I thought you'd like to read it, so I clipped it out. Oh. Get a load of this, fellas. Jack Benny's Christmas party last Thursday was one of the outstanding events of the Beverly Hills social season.
Well?
Among those present were Rodney Dangerfield, the cowboy star, Barney Dean, Stella Buggenhaven.
That's Rodney's leading lady, remember?
Yeah. And your reporter, Scoop Scoopsky.
Good old Scoop. Go on, Mary.
A delicious ham hocks a la Duster were enjoyed by all.
Ham hocks?
Quiet. Go ahead, Mary.
And the highlight of the evening was when Miss Ginger Rogers stopped in to use the telephone.
I'll never forget the look on Scoop's face.
After dinner, the guests retired to Mr. Benny's rumpus room, which was tastefully decorated with holly, mistletoe, and a huge bag.
That was the present Mr. Billingsley gave me. Boy, am I going to have flowers. What else does it say, Mary?
The party broke up around 10 p.m. when the ace of spades fell out of Barney Dean's sleeve.
For a minute there, I thought Rodney was going to shoot him. That was a lovely notice, Mary. Well, Dennis, Give it to me, Mary. I'll send it to my father. He thinks I'm cheap. Well, Dennis, it's time for a song, so how about it?
Say, I thought Mr. Dangerfield did take a shot at him.
Dennis, we won't discuss those things now. Let's have your song.
Okay.
Hold it. Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
A happy new year, you I wish, and season's greetings so delish. I hope your days are bright and sunny.
Well, thank you, sir.
You're welcome, honey.
Get out of here! Sing, Dennis. I must call up Barney and see if he needs another transfusion. I don't know. Call, sung by Dennis Day. And Dennis, that was swell. By the way, kid, before I forget it, I want to thank you for that lovely Christmas present you sent me. Shaving cream is one thing I can always use. Yes, sir.
That wasn't shaving cream, Mr. Benny. That was a tube of anchovy paste.
Oh, anchovy paste. I was wondering why it didn't lather. And now, ladies and gentlemen... the cat kept licking my face all morning. That should have tipped me off right there. Oh, well. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Hiya, fellas. Well, tomorrow's the big night. You got your reservation in, Jackson?
What reservation?
You know, me and the boys. We're opening downtown at the Biltmore Bowl.
Oh, yes, that's right. Wilshire Bowl, Biltmore Bowl. Said you and your orchestra have been in more bowls than a pair of chopsticks.
Hey! Yeah, that's all right. I'm going to pull that tomorrow night. Can I have that gag, Jackson?
It's yours for $2, Phil. That's what I paid for it. I'll be glad to get out from under, you know? Say, Phil, what kind of a show have you got lined up for the opening?
Ah, it's terrific. First, we're going to play some straight band numbers, then sing a lot of novelty songs, and then Charlie Bagby's going to do a soft shoe dance.
Bagby, your piano player? Does he dance?
No, but we got to get him up. That stool needs painting.
Oh.
And then, on the late show, Frankie, my guitar player, is going to get up and do some acrobatic tricks.
Look, Phil, on the late show, if Frankie just gets up, I'll give him a hand. Believe me. And don't tell us any more. You'll spoil it. Huh?
Say, Phil, your opening going to be formal? Do I have to dress?
Well, you ought to wear something. Always an answer. That Harris is a clip.
A clip?
That Harris is a clip.
What a character.
Say, Phil, can we tell... Shall we tell Jack the surprise we got cooked up for the opening?
Yeah, Jackson, Mary and me are going to do a cute little number called How About You? You know, it's the one that Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland sing in their new picture.
Hey, that ought to be good. And listen, if you want another great idea, how about... Oh, this is terrific. How about in the second chorus, if I pick up my violin and
see
play...
See what I told you, Phil?
Listen, Mary, it's Phil's opening, and if he wants me to play a violin solo, that's his business. Hey, Philzy?
Them ham hocks I ate, but the violin is over my dead body.
All right.
Say, Phil, why don't you and Mary try out that song for us tonight?
All right, come on, Mary. Let's show them how it goes.
Okay.
All right, go ahead. But if you hear a violin in the second chorus, don't be surprised. Go ahead, let's have the song. Wait a minute, I'll take it. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
What do you want?
I was just wondering, boss, can I have tomorrow night off on account of New Year's Eve?
Rochester, New Year's Eve isn't until Wednesday night.
Well, I want to let my hair down, and it takes me 2 days to drink the curl out of it.
Now, Rochester, let me make one thing clear. You're getting New Year's off, Eve. You're getting New Year's Eve off, and that's all. And furthermore, I want you to be back to work at 9 a.m. the next morning.
9 a.m.?
Yes, 9 a.m.
Okay. If I ain't in the kitchen, look in the rose bushes.
I'm not going to hunt for you. Now, look, Rochester, there are a lot of things you can do on New Year's Eve besides drinking. You can throw confetti.
Uh-huh.
And you can blow horns.
Uh-huh.
And break balloons.
Uh-huh.
And when midnight comes and the old year passes out...
I want to go with it.
Rochester! Rochester, believe me, I know what I'm talking about. You'll feel much better the next day if you stick to ginger ale like I do.
Okay, you're the boss.
You mean you're going to stick to ginger ale?
No, just okay, you're the boss.
Well, I don't care what you do, but I want to see you 9 o'clock the following morning on the job. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
Now what?
I forgot to thank you for that beautiful Christmas present you gave me.
That's all right, Rochester.
I always wanted a fountain pen.
That's good.
Now that I got that bottle of ink, I'm going to buy one.
I knew you'd like it. So long, Rochester.
So long.
So hard to figure out what to buy him. He has everything. Now, where were we?
Well, Mary and me are going to give out with that song.
Oh, yes, go ahead. Remember what I said about the second chorus. Sing, my little chickadees. My writers are working for W.C. Fields now.
I like New York in June. How about you?
I like a Gershwin tune. How about you?
I love a fireside when a storm is due.
I like potato chips, moonlight, and motor trips. How about you?
I'm mad about good books. Can't get my fill.
And Robert Taylor's looks give me a thrill.
Holding hands in a movie show when all the lights are low.
May not be new, but I like it. How about you? I like Fred Allen's jokes.
Yeah, to a degree.
I love the common folk.
That was How About You from the MGM picture Babes on Broadway, sung by Mickey Harris and Judy Livingston. With violin hot licked by Jivin' Jackie Benny. You see, that fiddle bit in there really helped the number, didn't it, Mary? Didn't it, Phil? Didn't it, Don? Didn't it, Dennis?
Who, me?
Thanks. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as is our custom at this time of year, tonight we are going to present our annual New Year's play entitled The New Tenant, or Goodbye 41, Hello 42. Now, once again, I will play the part of
Say, Mr. Benny, every year you do one of these plays and I don't understand them.
Well, you see, Dennis, these little sketches we do at the close of each year are not so much plays as they are allegorical fantasies.
Oh.
See, they, You see, they deal with the abstract and the esoteric rather than with the prosaic.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Do you understand, Dennis?
Give me that again, and if my face lights up, stop.
All right. Now, look, kid.
Ladies and gentlemen, while Jack is explaining tonight's play to Dennis, let me tell you about Jell-O with its new locked-in process.
Tires, such as we often do in motion
Jell-O
pictures.
Is not only economical and easy to make,
fantasy,
but comes in six
fantasy,
delicious flavors.
And they're
strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime. I thank you.
But listen to the thought behind it. So remember, it's nothing but abstract symbolism. Have you got it, Dennis?
Yes, sir.
Rub a little on me, will you, kid?
Phil, you've got an important role. You're going to be Uncle Sam, so study it. Now, in our sketch tonight, I will play the part of the old year, 1941, who has been living in a big boarding house called the United States, run by Uncle Sam and his wife, Columbia. Mary, you're going to be Columbia, and you have 48 children, one for each state in the Union.
48 children? Holy smoke.
Well, you were born in 1776.
Oh, well, that's not so bad then.
Of course not. And, oh, yes, you have some adopted kids, too, like Puerto Rico, Hawaii, the Philippines, and so on. And now for our play. As the curtain rises, it is almost midnight of December 31st. And old man 1941 is up in his room, packing his bags and ready to make his exit. Curtain. Music. Oh, Columbia. Columbia, will you come up here, please?
What do you want, 41?
Give me a hand with this packing, will you? Got to get out of here before midnight and make room for the new tenant.
Oh, yes, little 42 will be here any minute.
Boy, am I a wreck. I'm glad I'm not a leap year. I couldn't stand another day.
You're telling me. You didn't have stars in your beard, you'd topple right over.
I do look a little like a tripod.
I can go along with a gag.
Say, where's your husband, Uncle Sam? I'd like to say goodbye to him.
Oh, he's around someplace. You know, he's been working night and day.
He sure has. Like the way all your kids have pitched in and helped him, too. Here comes one of your boys now.
Yeah, that's my fattest one.
Hello, Texas.
Hello, old-timer. Hiya, Ma.
My, my, look at the size of that boy.
Yeah, he's getting a little plump around El Paso.
His Galveston could stand a little reducing, too, right? Fine boy, though.
Say, Ma, have you seen Pa around? I got some new airfields I want to show him.
Oh, he's out in the yard somewhere, and he's madder than a hornet.
I'll go look for him. See you later, Mom.
You know, Columbia, I don't blame Sam for being so riled up.
You mean about our little adopted daughter, Lulu?
Yep, Lulu. Burns me up just to think of it. There she was on a Sunday morning out in the yard picking pineapples, minding her own business, when a swarm of them darn yellow jackets flew in and stung her right in the back.
That was a low-down trick if I ever heard of one.
Well, she's got plenty of flit there now. Let him come back. Hey, Columbia. Columbia, hand me some of that swing music, will you? Might as well pack that. Take it along with me.
Here you are.
Thanks. Cut, shut, roll, turn down the reel around. In a brawl, a brawly, shoe it. Boy, am I sick of that. Well, I'll just pack it in here in my grip.
You might as well take all these strikes and arguments with you, too.
Yep, you won't be needing them for a while. No, sirree.
Hey, old-timer, come over here by the window. Look.
Well, I'll be darned, there's that mad dog, Adolf. Look at that bear chasing him.
Is that a Russian bear?
It ain't Carmichael. Look at him go. Oh, shut up, Benito. Who cares about you? Well, gotta be out of here before long. What time is it, Columbia?
About 3 minutes to 12.
I better get finished up here.
Doggone them double crossers. I'll get even with them if it's the last thing I do.
Here comes Sam now.
Hello, Uncle Sam.
Ain't you gone yet?
Nope, got about 2 more minutes. Now calm down, Sam. Don't get excited.
Well, it's about time I got excited. When I think of what they're doing to my boy, Manila.
Well, I don't blame you.
I'm going to kick the teeth out of them yellow devils. That's about all there is to them anyway.
Attaboy, Sam.
Well, Sam, I'll be leaving you pretty soon. Doggone, look at that clock. Just got my ducks together in time. That's the first stroke 12. Wonder what's keeping the new tenant. Little fella should be here by now.
Don't worry, he'll show up.
Now, here's a little tip for you, Sam. Just keep your shirt on, but your sleeves rolled up. Everything will be all right.
Well, when I think of what they did to Lulu...
Take it easy now. Take it easy. Time's a-fleeting. I can't leave till that little shaver gets here.
That must be him now.
Yeah. Come in. Well. Hello, young fella. You the little New Year?
This ain't a sarong I'm wearing.
That's good. You're going to need a sense of humor, kid. Come on in. Want to meet Uncle Sam and his wife, Columbia.
Glad to know you, folks. Hello, Sonny.
Hiya, bub. Make yourself to home.
Well, son, I hope you brought some good things with you. You like staying in this house. It's the finest home on the block.
I'm glad to hear that. You better be moving along, old-timer. I've got work to do.
Yep, might as well be moseying along. But before I go, I want to give you a little advice. First, take good care of Uncle Sam here. Let him get mad when he wants to, but see that he don't fly off the handle.
Damn gall darn pest.
See what I mean? Take care of his friends and good neighbors, too. And that Dutch uncle of his.
Leave it to me, old-timer.
And look, you may have to put out the lights here in the house once in a while, but see that that porch, the front gate, is always burning. And say, before I forget it, Uncle Sam's got a nephew named Franklin that's taking mighty good care of the old boy. Ain't he, Sam?
You're darn tootin'.
So keep an eye on him, son, and give him all the help you can.
Franklin, huh? Well, I'll write that down.
And as long as you're writing down names, here's another one for you. Put down Winston.
Winston?
Yep.
Franklin and Winston. What are these two fellas' last names?
Ain't necessary, son. Everybody knows them.
Anyone else?
Well, let's see. You can put down Chiang Kai-shek. Nice fella. Believe me, he's just as tough as he is to pronounce. And, oh, there's a lot more of them, but Sam will give you the names later. Well, gotta be leaving. So long, Sam.
So long, old-timer.
Here we go.
So long, 41.
So long, Columbia. Keep 'em flying.
Calendar this week, so start right from page one. Remember the letters FNE for flavor, nutrition, economy.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is our final program of 1947. For the last time this year, I'm about to say those immortal words, and I quote, here he is again, Fred Allen.
Thank you and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Portland, tonight we close our books for the fiscal year. If you have any jokes left over from 1947, this will be your final chance to tell them.
According to my books, I have 3 jokes all told.
You mean all told that you haven't told?
Hmm?
Well, what is your little sneaky one? What is your first rouser you have left over?
In 6...
I use the word rouser optimistically at this point.
In Poughkeepsie, yeah. 200 coal miners are out of work.
But there aren't any coal mines in Poughkeepsie.
That's why they're out of work.
Well, certainly, it was clever of you not to have told that earlier in the year, you know. That spoiled the whole rest of the year, that one. What are your other 2 screamers?
As the waiter said when he served the horseradish, I hope this covers your beef.
And sure, we've got the doors bolted, you know. Nobody can get out. They're just going to sit here and take it, you know, regardless of... And your last one?
It's about a lady from Boston.
A lady from Boston?
She said to the pencil sharpener, don't you know it's rude to point?
Well, speaking... I won't even bother waiting. I'm sorry you brought the whole thing up. Speaking of Boston, do you know in the Boston Public Library they keep one room empty?
One room empty?
It's for the books that are banned in Boston. That brings us up to date with our non-result-getting lines. Now, what is in the news?
New York just had a snowstorm that was bigger than the famous blizzard of 1888.
Yes, I know. The paper said the snowfall was 25 inches.
Mama said if it snowed one more day, they'd have to make Admiral Byrd mayor of New York.
No kidding. You want to tell the Poughkeepsie joke again? It's just... We could have kept on telling those same 3 jokes. It's not...
And the snow was so deep in Brooklyn,
yeah,
that the mounted policemen had a stand on their horses.
Stand on their horses, mm-hmm, there to look over the bridge. Well, I'll tell you, they had a big truck scooping up snow on Broadway. When they emptied the truck downtown, they had 20,000 tons of snow and 14 pickets.
A snowman.
A snowman. I passed the YW last night, and 4 old maids were outside building a snow woman. Rules, you know. And speaking of rules, I'd better start footing it for Allen's Alley.
What is your question tonight?
Well, as the old year comes to its annual close, the newspapers always chronicle the outstanding sports and news events of the departed 12 months. And so our question tonight is, what, in your estimation, was the outstanding event or happening in 1947?
Shall we go?
As the two billiard balls said when they saw the cue stick coming, let's get rolling. Alley, Porton. Say, the senator has a Christmas wreath nailed on his door. It's an old spare tire painted green with a red ribbon on it. Well, let's knock.
Who's jiggling my latch? Oh, it's you, son.
Well, Senator Clagg.
Well, son, I've been busier than a nearsighted Mexican trying to pick up 2 pounds of jumping beans. Jed Stassen demanded that list of grain traders. Half of Washington's gone underground.
You mean the grain?
Politicians are flocking to cooperatives.
Cooperatives?
Yeah, they don't even want to be caught with a little corn in their shoes.
Well, confidentially, Senator, did you, as man to man now, did you ever speculate in grain?
Son, on my honor, hope to die, hope the cattle spit in my eye. I had nothing to do with grain since I sold my wild oats.
Well, things around the White House, Senator.
Coming, son.
Really?
Margaret's back home, and
yes. This
week somebody sent a puppy to the president. The puppy was a Democrat.
How could you tell that the little puppy was a Democrat?
He had his eyes open. Yeah, I can use that joke, son. I'm writing Harry's 1948 campaign speech.
Well, I hope it goes better in the speech than it went tonight, Senator. Harry may give it something, you know. What is the speech about?
Well, the president's going to stop people from cutting down trees.
Cutting down trees?
Yeah, he don't want the Republicans stumping the country. He don't want them stumping the country.
I had the misfortune to have heard you the first time. Tell me, what are the Republicans doing about 1948, Senator?
Well, they're calling in Ralph Edwards.
Ralph Edwards?
Yeah, he's putting on a big Republican contest.
Republican contest?
Who is Mr. Hush?
Well, confidentially, who is Mr. Hush?
Tom Dewey. So long, Tom.
In all the excitement, I forgot to ask the senator the question. Well, I'll ask Mr. Moody, I guess.
Howdy, Bob.
Say, Mr. Moody, you sound a little hoarse.
I know. I got a cold in the head.
You too, huh? Well, how could you catch a cold in the head?
I got a run in my stocking cap. Well, before I cut the cat's tail off, I was catching cold all the time.
You were catching cold on account of the cat's tail? How come?
Well, when the winter is freezing cold...
Yes?
A short-tailed cat don't keep the door open so long coming into the house.
Well, tell me, Mr. Moody, what, in your estimation, was the outstanding event of 1947?
Why, the big wind on March 12th.
Well, how bad was the wind?
I'll tell you.
Oh, I wish you would.
My wife, Lobelia, was sitting in the yard milking.
Uh-huh.
The wind blew the cow clean out of my wife's hands.
You mean your wife?
My wife was left sitting there with her hands clenched over an empty pail.
Jesus.
Yeah, and then the wind went downtown.
Did it do any damage down there?
Why, it blew two old ladies across the street before Boy Scouts could help them. And then the wind, it went into a sporting goods store.
Uh-huh.
It so happened that there was 40 moose calls laying on the counter.
40 moose calls, huh?
Yeah, and the wind blew them 40 moose calls all to once.
Uh-huh.
It was the biggest moose call ever heard in Hoosick Falls.
The biggest moose call, hey? Well, what happened?
Why, the Elks Clubhouse jumped off its foundation and come waddling down Main Street.
Did the wind last?
Oh, kept blowing all night.
All night?
Yeah. About midnight, it blew all the knobs off the outside doors.
Yeah?
I run out. I was fuming.
Fuming, huh?
I was in my pajamas.
Did the wind rip off your pajamas?
No. Just blew my top. So long, Bill.
Hi, this is too much for me. Let's see what can happen at this next door.
Howdy, Chippy.
Oh, Mrs. Nussbaum. Say, you have your overshoes on.
I'm just coming back from the movies.
Oh, the movies, eh?
Radium City Music Hall.
Radium City? What was the picture?
Good News.
Good News, huh?
It is the life of Gabriel Heater.
Why?
And on the stage is Dancing Girls, the Ricketts.
The Ricketts?